The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
So much to chop up today. Get in now, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'll keep you waiting on the line for an hour, frustrated. No, I'm going to get to some calls, so I say. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. These NBA playoffs. Look, do you like the fact that, in fact, every series is decided by injury? All the fears we had of the COVID situation last NBA playoffs in the bubble didn't come to fruition. The right team won. The Lakers are the best team. They won. Everything, you know, was as expected. You like that? You like having things the way you anticipate and the best team winning? Or do you like some randomness injected? Unfortunately, it's because of injury. But all the fears from last year came to fruition this year. It was the compressed schedule, the lack of the longer offseason. Everyone's hurt. LeBron, AD, Harden, Kyrie. Every series you look at, meniscus with Embiid, he plays through it. No Jamal Murray, no Chris Paul, no Kawhi Leonard. Everywhere you look. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
It is a stunner in South Philly.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
So I don't know the answer to that.
Well, he's right to say that, Doc, about Ben Simmons after what we saw. And you know what Ben Simmons would be right to say if asked, can Doc still be a championship coach? I don't know if you can say that. Got to wait and see. But do you even have to wait and see? Because Ben Simmons got to go. Everyone agrees about this point. Ben Simmons got to go. He can't be fixed in Philadelphia. And before you get on the Philly fans, think of how the Philly fans took care of Markel Fultz. And this dude was drafted one. That was a big mistake, but they cheered every free throw hit because they were trying to get behind him and support him. And they were doing the same thing to Ben Simmons. They were taking care of this dude, focusing on what he could do instead of what he couldn't. Trying to boost him instead of tear him down, but that's over. That's over after last night. That's done. And so is Ben Simmons in Philly. Look, people are wondering, can you get CJ McCollum for him? Ben Simmons has everything but a shot. But I mean everything but a shot on all-time great levels at 6'10", handles, speed, athletic ability, court vision, passing, defense and some. But he's passing up dunks, maybe and ones, because he's too scared to get put on the free throw line. He said, offensively, I wasn't there. I didn't do enough for my teammates. He said, oh, Roger, can't see. The screen is blurry. You gotta, Roger's doing something to me. He's checking his fantasy sports, and it makes the screen blurry. He admitted, a lot of things I need to work on. Simmons was 15 of 45 from the free throw line, 33%. In the Eastern Conference semis against Atlanta, 34.2% overall in the playoffs. The worst free throw percentage in playoff history for a guy with at least 70 attempts. So for guys who take a lot of free throws, worst ever. Worse than Shaq ever was. Worse than any of the big centers ever were. Hawks held him to fewer than 10 points in 4 of the 7 games. Fewer than 10 points, including his 5-point performance on Sunday. Magic Johnson was on First Take, saying what Stephen A. was saying and what I was saying. This is funny about First Take. Like, I planned to come out and say, Ben Simmons has to be traded. And I had two guys beat me to it on the air today. So I have something else for you. But first, listen to Magic.
Ben, it's time for a change.
Yeah.
It's time for a change because he can't recover from this. The locker room won't recover from it. Mm. And so when they went to the Hacker Shack, basically – the Hacker Simmons,
that just
killed him.
He's right about that. Magic is right. He pointed out Game 5 and what that did to Simmons' confidence. He's absolutely right. But let me tell you something. I want you to listen one more time to Doc Rivers answering the question, can Simmons be a point guard on a championship team? Because I got something for you on Doc, too. Here is Doc Rivers, head coach Doc Rivers, one time champion but eliminated in Game 7s and come from behind losses. More times than any coach in history, right? Doc Rivers talking about whether or not Ben Simmons can ever be a championship point guard.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
And that's the right answer, but the same can be said of Doc. Well, he already won a championship. Let's be very clear. And I love Doc Rivers. I bump into Doc Rivers at a game or something. He wants to talk fights. I love Doc Rivers. And by the way, in my lifetime watching the Knicks, he was the best point guard they had. Mark Jackson was excellent for a while. Rod Strickland had promise. Ron Harper was good. I mean, you know, by Knicks point guard standards, et cetera, et cetera. Steph, we had high hopes for. It didn't work out right. Doc Rivers overall was the guy that I'd want in terms of all those guys at the time they played for the Knicks. And it's not like I have anything against Doc. But let me ask you something. Are we sure that Simmons was more to blame for that than Doc Rivers? Are you sure about that? Doc has one championship as a coach, head coach, and that was for the Celtics when they had a big three and no one else in the NBA did. You give any decent coach three Hall of Famers all in or around their primes whose games complement each other, and in a league where, and they stay healthy through the playoffs, and no other team has a big three in the league, they're supposed to win the championship. You did what you were supposed to do. They got one, by the way, out of that. One! And you've all seen the stats by now. How many collapses in series that he's led, up 3-1, all these kind of things. Has Doc now, but forget about all that for a second. George Hill's getting cooked by Gallinari, right? Seth Curry is getting cooked by Huerter. Well, because Seth Curry's short and Huerter's like 6'8", whatever, 6'7". There's a mismatch, and it wasn't going, was any adjustment made? Should Dwight Howard or Shake Milton have seen the floor? You go 10 deep in a game 7? 10 deep? Look, the team missed Danny Green. There's no doubt about that. And Ben Simmons is broken. That's true. But everyone's screaming for Brett Brown to be fired, right? Had he ever been outcoached in a series like that? Like ever? And by the way, ATOs, that's what he's known for, right? Doc has a deserved reputation for being great. They could barely inbound the ball. Barely after timeouts. They couldn't execute at all. Well, that's on the coach. And by the way, if you want me to say the culprits, it's one or and two is whatever order you want to put them in, Doc and Ben Simmons. And there's a good argument that neither should be back. Tobias Harris was horrible when it mattered most. And that's flying under the radar because of Doc and Simmons, but they were so overwhelmingly responsible for the collapse. But, oh my God, he did $140 million? Gets you nothing? When it matters most, gets you nothing? Magic talked about Iguodala on the air and how he was miscast as the first option in Philly originally. And then when he got to be the third or fourth option, he became a great player in Golden State. I like that. The difference is, Iguodala was never scared. Never scared. The whole thing when I, you know, broke the internet or whatever with, give me Iguodala, fate of the universe on the line.
Iguodala.
There it is. But I meant that. I didn't mean getting his own shot. I mean open look. You have a wide open look at the basket, but the chips are on the line. Steph Curry's the greatest shooter who ever lived. But not with the chips on the line, he's not the greatest shooter who ever lived. And Iguodala's not that good a shot. Unless it's important. If he has an open look, he'll knock that down. You're confident. I compared it to baseball fans alike this. I said this on Ryan Russillo's podcast on The Ringer. A-Rod, one of the greatest players ever. Luis Soho, a little-known middle infielder. You know, a utility guy. But Yankees fans and Red Sox fans know if there's a guy on second base and the playoff game is on the line, Red Sox fans didn't want to see Soho at the plate for the Yankees. A-Rod, they get a good feeling, yeah, we're going to get this guy out. It's a big moment. But a dude like Soho will come through. That's why there's some dudes who aren't scared. Simmons is scared. Tobias Harris, when it mattered, looks scared. Doc Rivers was a mess. They're going to have to get Embiid someone who's not scared. And that was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Now, I got Kendrick Perkins coming on in a second. Devin Booker. What did I tell you about Devin Booker? The little mini Mamba. I mean, this dude offensively, he can't create his own shot to the extent that Kobe Bryant can or could. But he reminds me so much of Kobe, not only the fearlessness and the rising to the occasion, but the way he can kill you from anywhere on the floor, especially when it matters, he can kill you. A 40-point triple-double on 15 of 29 shooting in a win without Chris Paul there? Like, let's not forget, who's the best player in the bubble before the playoffs? Because they didn't get to play in the playoffs, the Suns. Best player in the bubble before the playoffs was Devin Booker. And Devin Booker went 8-0 in the bubble before Chris Paul got there. But now you don't have Chris Paul, and he gives you a 40-point triple-double in a playoff win? This dude is something else. Like, the question is, who are the young superstars? Does Donovan Mitchell count as a superstar? Does Devin Booker? Well, Magic was just on the air today saying, yeah, I think I agree. Because when it matters most, they consistently play like superstars. Now, it's still early in Booker's career, but this guy is something special. The question now is, who needs their, we asked it on First Take Day, who needs the superstar to come back more, the Suns or the Clips? Now, look, yeah, can the Clippers win without Kawhi Leonard? Maybe, and I'll tell you why. I actually think it's the Suns. Every, you know, look, they went 8-0 in the bubble. Devin Booker's great. They were at home in front of a raucous crowd. And they get a 40-point triple-double from their best player. And they escape the first game at home by the skin of their teeth with a win. I mean, late in that game, that shot out of Batum's hand looks good to me. They go to that small ball lineup. That's a problem. But yes, of course they need Chris Paul. Of course the Clippers need Kawhi Leonard back. I think the Suns need Chris Paul back. Now, the Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Just waiting for that imaging. And on the Goodyear Hotline, I'll just go straight ahead. Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst. Perk, you and I were both very high on the Suns before the season began. How much of that, from your point of view, was what you saw in the bubble from Booker and the Suns, and how much of that was the addition of Chris Paul? Because they didn't have him for game one, and they won behind a superstar performance from Book.
I think first of all, Max, I'm glad you're back from the Virgin Islands or wherever you was at. I hope you had a nice vacation since you was out there twinkling your toes in the sand. That's the first thing. I'm glad you're back to work, all right, since you decided to take a vacation. Well, during the middle of the playoffs.
But second of all, so did Stephen A. and Molly. I don't want to hear it.
I think it's collectively, man. I think everything played a part. What they did in the bubble was eye candy to Chris Paul, and which made him want to go join that squad along with already having a relationship with Monty Williams. And so when you look at what James Jones did, he already had these young studs. And Devin Booker, he needed a leader to push DeAndre Ayton to get the best out of him. And now you got Mikal Bridges and Cameron Payne, a guy who, you know, is getting his third or fourth opportunity to prove that he's an NBA player and just needed the right coaching, right? So everything is falling in place. Then you go add Jay Crowder and Torrey Craig, who's been huge for them. I think it's been everything collectively is what got them to this point. And I said this earlier today, Max, I strongly believe you could watch from the outside looking in, and the chemistry that they have reminds you of chemistry of a real family. Like, it's almost like a family reunion type vibe. And I say that because you could tell when a team go out there and play the way that they do on both ends of the floor, and guys are cheering for one another and supporting one another, whether they're having a good game or not, long as their brother is doing well, that speaks volumes. And the way that this team is playing right now, hey, man, it's a beautiful thing to see, Max. And I think right now it's destined for them.
Like, yeah, you know, you talk about the family dynamic, but the thing, like, when on paper this team fit really well. Like, the question is, hold on, how's Westbrook and Beal going to, how Harden and Kyrie? And you got to see how they work that out. But on paper, when you looked at the construction of this team going in, you go, yep, that should work. That ought to work. if you're drafting a team and you wind up with that, you go, yep, I like that. I like the effect this dude's going to have on that dude. I like the way those two pieces fit in the backcourt. I like what that front court looks like. That bench player is going to help. The addition of a guy like Jay Crowder, like everything seemed to fit. And Perk, the real question for me coming into the season was, is there enough time for DeAndre Ayton to mature? How is he going to play? I think he's playing at least up to the highest expectations you could have had for him at this point. They are dangerous. Do you think they beat the Clippers? Let's say Kawhi gets back.
Yes, I do think they beat the Clippers, and I don't think Kawhi is coming back. Yeah. But I do think they beat the Clippers, and I hate to go against Ty Lue because every time his back is against the wall, he proved everyone wrong. But I'm a strong believer in Ty Lue, but with that being said, I just think the Phoenix Suns, man, they just got the upper hand to me. Like, especially having home court. Home court for the Suns, Max.
Yeah, it's a real
right?
home court.
Like, yeah, it's a real home court, Max. And I think those young players, they thrive behind the energy that they fans bring. So right now I'm looking at this series. It could go 6 or 7, but I'm giving the slight edge to the Phoenix Suns.
I got to tell you, you might be right. If Kawhi doesn't come back, they're not going to win, especially since Chris Paul's going to come back. But and it, by the way, it's a shit. Chris Paul has had an amazing career. That's the best basketball I've ever seen him play in the last series. That was perfect. Yeah, you can't. I mean, what more can a guy do? But I think if Kawhi comes back, like I just saw Book give him a triple-double with 40, and they barely won that game at home. Like the Clippers are good. And you bring up Ty Lue. Let me try this one. A lot of people saying, oh, he's a top 10 coach. He's a top 5. Ty Lue's the best coach in the NBA. And this is why I say that, Perk. Not only has he won a championship, and he's come from behind to do it, and he's consistently come from behind in series, but he does it by making adjustments. He'll stand up to LeBron James. He'll keep a group together. He'll make the X's and O's adjustments in the series, and the track record is there to prove it. If I had a team, and I had to, and I got my choice of any coach in the league, I would choose Ty Lue. To me, that makes him the best coach in the NBA.
Absolutely, and I've been preaching this. This is why, Max. This is why before the season, I was saying Ty Lue was the guy for the Nets job.
Right.
Can you imagine if Ty Lue was on the Nets? The Nets would have beat the Bucks.
Instead of Steve Nash just saying, here, KD, take the ball. Like, Steve Nash designed no plays, kept Harden in when he was killing the flow. The transition game was getting killed. Defense was getting killed. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Other than Steve Nash being the nice guy, what did he do as the coach?
Nothing. And, Max, that's what I'm telling you. Think about it.
I'm telling you. Oh, we're telling each other. Okay.
No,
go ahead, Perk.
No, we're telling each other. Yeah, yeah. We're telling each other because I've been singing praises about Ty Lue. I was in those locker rooms with him when he used to stand up to whoever. And
me
yes,
too.
He's not
me
a coach
too.
That's no, dramatic
yeah.
down the sideline, but he's a guy that gets it done throughout the series. He gets the best out of players. Like Paul George is looking like he made the right decision. He called out, he said, hey, man, I didn't want to play for Doc Rivers. He was holding me in the box. Doc Rivers said, oh, you got Ty Lue there. That's just a miniature me. But Doc was wrong.
No, very different.
Ty Lue has got the best out of Paul George.
Okay, let's move on to Doc then. I'm glad you brought that up, Perk. Simmons is catching heat. He deserves it. He can't be fixed in Philly. The fans supported him through all the trouble. He's got to go, right? But what about Doc? Perk, Doc has won championship with a big three in a league that did not have another big three. Got the one. Has consistently collapsed in playoff series, and I love me some Doc. And what I saw with this team, Perk, if you got a dude getting roasted like Seth Curry because he's a half a foot shorter than Herter, right? If Gallinari's giving that work to George Hill, you got to do something about it. If Dwight Howard's killing you, then don't go 10 deep and don't play Dwight. You know, like this is on and on. And even his ATOs, he's known for it and he deserves the reputation for it. But they weren't executing out of ATOs. They're barely getting the ball inbounds. Like, doesn't Doc have to take some of this heat?
Yeah, he do, but he don't, Max. I mean, because at the end of the day, like, here's the problem. And this is why I be saying in certain situations why it's so hard to win a 7-game series and beat a team 4 times for the simple fact of matchups. You know, like, you can't hide guys. Like, for example, Seth Curry, you have to have him on the court because Ben Simmons is not giving you the production offensively that you're supposed to have. So you have to have him on the court.
But you don't need Shake Milton and Dwight Howard, Perk. They were killing you.
I understand that, Max, but what I'm saying is, what are you going to do? Are you going to take Steph Curry off the floor? You can't take him off the floor because you need his offense. Because Ben Simmons not giving it to you.
Yeah, they were missing Danny Green, Perk. They were missing Danny Green big time, no question.
Exactly. Yeah. They were missing him. Like, listen, this is what I'm saying. Doc Rivers does deserve some heat because, to me, I thought he should have, like, and people may, hey, whatever. I thought he should have benched Ben Simmons, okay? When he saw that Ben Simmons wasn't being aggressive, he should have came and he should have rolled with Shake Milton and Tyrese Maxey and said, hey, at least I know these guys are going to go down shooting. Okay, yeah. At the end of the day, if we go down, these guys are going to go down being aggressive. They're not going to pass up shots. I don't have to worry about putting too much pressure on Embiid to carry the load. He has enough firepower. But Doc didn't make that adjustment.
They're telling me we got to go, Perk. I saw Thibel. You know, the Sixers are up, I think, 4. It should have been 6. He had a clear line to the basket. Instead, he takes an ill-advised 3, you know. Misses, of course. Then they go the other way. They hit a jump shot. It's a 5-point swing. That's on Doc. A guy like Thibel making those kind of decisions, that points to the coach. Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. Perk and I like talking and debating so much that we never get to say goodbye. They just click them off ruthlessly. Brendan and Raj, just ruthless. All right. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Nets out. They're out. What does this mean for next year? And has KD taken the throne? If you're a business owner who's hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, however, their matching technology finds these qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So while other companies give you too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ziprecruiter.com/max. That's ziprecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I thought this was the best version of the Bucks that Giannis Antetokounmpo has been on.
Oh, and a lob off the baseline entry pass. Holiday sees Antetokounmpo crush a right-hand dunk.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN. I'm going to have to prove to everyone that I'm actually going to take calls today. 888-729-3776. Ultimate Fighter's back. Reality show that brings top MMA prospects together under one roof to compete for a UFC contract is on ESPN Plus. You can stream new episodes every Tuesday only on ESPN Plus. You can also stream my show, The Max Kellerman Show, along with hours of daily sports talk. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/UFC. Steve Nash said, one too many obstacles for ousted Brooklyn Nets after the Bucks withstood Kevin Durant's NBA record 48 points in a 115-111 Game 7 win to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Brooklyn's coach, Steve Nash, lamented what could have been had his team been fully healthy this season. I still think we could win it, he said. And clearly, I think we proved tonight that we could. Game could have gone either way. I just think we faced one too many obstacles this year because our guys gave everything they had. Kyrie Irving, he had the bad ankle on the sideline in street clothes on Saturday, and although James Harden played in Game 7, he did so on one leg, as Nash put it. What about that, KD? What about this historic performance, albeit in the loss?
Kevin, you gave everything you could in this series. You put this team on your back. Does any of that temper the hurt that you feel right now?
Not at all. Who cares?
Yeah, look, because they lost, I get it. And KD, in my view, elevated himself in these playoffs because we always knew he was great, or we always knew he was excellent, right? The size and skills and all that kind of stuff, basketball IQ, and even, like, by the way, the passing ability. Like, KD at almost 7 feet with the wingspan and everything, because he's such a deadly threat from anywhere on the floor, and because of his size and his arm length, can kind of create clear passing lanes where some other guys wouldn't be able to get them. And he's a willing passer. He's really become an excellent passer. And was just, how many guys have ever played better than KD just played? And I don't mean like, well, Chris Paul played in the Phoenix series, but Chris Paul's 6 feet. KD's 7 feet. So because the basket's 10 feet in the air, that's a huge advantage. Like, there's nothing Chris Paul can do to play, and he played as well as can, like, no one can play basketball better than Chris Paul played it in the last series against Denver, but he's 6 feet tall, so you can only play it so well. KD at 7 feet almost, it's just a different kind of thing. So he's, like, absurdly high level. But two things. One, more impressive than what he did with Golden State when he had a great squad and they couldn't, you know, beat the Golden State team that LeBron then beat in the very next series at Oracle, Game 7 in 2016. I was there for the conference finals Game 7 and for the finals Game 7. I saw LeBron do what KD could not. And two, what he did with Golden State, so what? Stephen A. said on First Take today, well, look, what happens when KD has a squad as good as LeBron's, right? Then all, no. KD's squad was twice as good as LeBron's. The Warriors were so much better than the Cavs. The Warriors won 73 games. The Cavs barely beat them in one of the greatest upsets and greatest series ever the year before. And then the Warriors added KD. And they didn't have to subtract anything and spare me the Bogut stuff, okay? They didn't have to subtract anything, really. They just added KD. Of course they're going to win. That doesn't prove anything to me about KD. But going to Brooklyn and not having Kyrie, and he didn't have Harden either. That wasn't James Harden. And still doing what he just did, he elevated himself to me. And like, now, I'll say this. Two things, therefore. One, did he take the crown from LeBron? 888-SAY-ESPN. I'm going to answer that question for you in a second. And two, as great as he played, if you're on that LeBron, Kobe, Bird, Magic level, right? Like Jordan's one, and then like who's right under that? When you're on that level, let me tell you what happens. Everything you do gets compared to Michael Jordan. Just the way it is. If LeBron would have airballed a shot in Game 7, there was enough time to get a two and tie the game, send it to double overtime. If you have a mismatch and decide to pull up for a three to win instead of tie, good for you. I appreciate your courage. I appreciate your risk-taking. But there is a downside, like if you don't hit the shot. It's a make-or-miss league, as they say, right? And if you miss that shot and you decide opted not to try and tie the game but try and win it, and therefore you lose a seven-game series by airballing that shot, well, he's tired. It's the end of the game. I get it. But if that was LeBron, oh, we'd be killing him. We'd be killing him. MJ would never, and MJ wouldn't. You could simulate the universe a trillion times. MJ was never airballing a game seven shot with the game, you know, down two, right? You can tie or win and you opt to win and he ain't airballing that. No, it's never happening. I don't care how many times you run that. KD did. Now, he was exhausted. He had a superhuman effort and he elevated himself, in my opinion. But the fact is, he did airball that shot. And LeBron would get killed for that. Now, I'm going to answer coming up, not right now, coming up, whether KD has taken the crown from LeBron with this historically great series he just played. Michael in Georgia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's going on, Max? I'm a fan of yours. Mm-hmm. I was listening on First Take. Before First Take, I had a friend to tell me that the 76ers should trade Ben Simmons.
That's right.
For C.J. McCollum.
That's what people were saying, the salaries match up. Yeah, but guess what? There are people, according to Stephen A., who is receiving texts during the show, that don't want important people, you can imagine who they might be, in Portland who don't want Ben Simmons there. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, listen, this playoffs, to me, is less about injury than it is about toughness. Now, Max, you know boxing very well, and in boxing, we have something called a glass jaw. And what I'm seeing here in these playoffs is we have these superstar players in these big-name markets who feel that the NBA needs them to excel, get them to the NBA Finals. So there's this idea that because, you know, that you're just given, you know, the pass to move on. We got teams, young teams coming up that's hungry, that's out there getting the job done. I don't think it's about – injuries. I think it's about toughness. The teams that are playing.
Hold on, wait, I hear you. Wait, hold on, hold on a second. Andre, hold on a second. You can say that, but when they didn't even have Harden, just a healthy KD and Kyrie, they were beating the brakes off the Bucks with two of their big three. If they'd have had Harden too, they would have swept the Bucks in three games. It would have had to be a mercy rule. You'd have to stop the series. But not only did they lose Kyrie, Harden never really came back. He was on the court, but he was a negative. He was a detriment to the team. He couldn't help facilitate the offense. He hurt their transition game. He couldn't play defense. He toughed it out, but he just didn't have it. So like this idea that it's about toughness, if they're simply healthy, and it's not like Kyrie could have powered his way through, they were hurt. But when it was just two of the three, the Bucks were not competitive. The Bucks won because the Nets got hurt. That's it. That's it. If the Nets don't get hurt, it's a humiliating series for the Bucks. Has KD finally taken the crown from LeBron? I'll get into it coming up. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more than vehicles with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressivecommercial.com.
It's the biggest season ever.
Tua said a lot of it is on him, but two new offensive coordinators are coming in there, so he now has a new system that he has to now learn before the start of the season. I'm going to be like, are you sure you don't want to talk about Aaron Rodgers?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The countdown to the NFL season continues. Tomorrow starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Has the torch been passed? Has KD taken the crown from LeBron? Yes, airballing a Game 7 3 to win instead of trying to tie with time remaining on the clock to lose in Game 7. Yes, that KD, who was so impressive, it's hard to overstate how impressive he was up until that very moment. And even then, he had nothing left. His legs were gone. Has he taken the crown from LeBron? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. You miss any of the show today? I don't know. I think so far it's been, because you have to grade yourself compared to yourself. Not every show can be your best show. So I would say that so far, a tick above average show. By the standard,
especially coming off the IL or whatever you want to call the absent list, you've been gone for a week.
Well, I had a week vacation, mm-hmm. So I'm entitled to vacation, Raj.
Well, of course, I just took one a week before.
I think you're on vacation right now. I'm not sure. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast available wherever you listen to podcasts. So, has KD taken the crown from LeBron? The answer is, heavyweight boxing. Because, like, barbershop talk is boxing and basketball. That's what a barbershop is, boxing and basketball. Chris Mannix of SI, or now of DAZN and everything. Chris Mannix had the best beat. He covered boxing and basketball. That's the barbershop. You know why? It's the best stuff to talk about. And heavyweight championship, Tyson Fury beat Vladimir Klitschko. He won the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world. And then he kind of went into a retirement. He went away. And during his absence, Anthony Joshua knocked Klitschko out. So he's not the lineal champ. It's not like it got, because Tyson Fury already did that. But he was impressive enough that a consensus formed around Joshua. That's the champ now. But then Tyson Fury came back and looked great. So now, even though Tyson Fury is the lineal champ, like he beat the man who beat the man, there's a dispute. Anthony Joshua can sit there and go, yeah, but you went away for a long time. You said you're retired. All right, homeboy, bets are off. All bets off now. It's up for grabs, and I grabbed it. Well, he lost to Andy Ruiz. Yeah, but then he knocked Ruiz out. Or then he beat Ruiz, rather. Got back the title. So whoever you think the best is, and I think Tyson Fury is the best, whoever you think the champ is, and I think Tyson Fury is the champ, Anthony Joshua got a legitimate dispute. A dispute. Tyson Fury's the champ, but he's not the undisputed champ. LeBron James lost in this year's playoffs because of injury, period. That's why he lost. He had a bad wheel, and AD couldn't even play. so they lost. That's not on LeBron. But it left the door open, given his age, given the way other stars in the league are coming up, Luka, and you're still seeing Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell when he was healthy. By the way, everyone's hurt. Like, Chris Paul played great. He's hurt. Kawhi was great. He's hurt. James Harden and Kyrie both got hurt. Like, every series you look at, Embiid was playing on a torn meniscus. You mean to tell me he wouldn't have played even better had he been healthy? And this is not like little injuries. Well, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks didn't have Dante Vincenzo. No, that's DiVincenzo. That's true. They didn't have DiVincenzo. That's true. But every year, a guy like that might get hurt. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the best players on the best teams, constantly their injuries, deciding playoff series. And that's what happened to LeBron. So I'm not ready to say this dude over here is now better than LeBron. I made that mistake with Kawhi. Part of that was predictive. Okay, LeBron is faded. Kawhi's up. I'm going to go out and say it. Right now, I think Kawhi is the best. And I was wrong. LeBron was still the best. I'm not going to make that mistake again and say, okay, now KD's got the crown. But he's got a dispute. LeBron James is no longer the undisputed champion of basketball. KD, who was his number one contender, has now got a legit dispute to his throne. Drew in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's going on? The best things from this weekend was the monster, Nana Inoue, not what Kevin Durant did. And Jamal Charlo's power did not carry up to 160 from 154. And it damn sure ain't going to go up to 168.
Well, I don't know. He was in. Look, Charlo. I hear you. He was in with a tough guy, and he dominated. I'll say this. Inoue, the monster, Japanese destroyer, for casual fans who might be interested in boxing. He's great. You got to watch him. We were talking basketball, but I guess I brought up boxing, so, you know, I left myself open. 20 seconds, Kai in Maryland. What you got to say? I'm giving you 20 seconds.
Can you hear me?
Yep, but you just used 10 of your seconds.
Hey.
No time. All right. Who gets the blame? Ben Simmons or Doc Rivers? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.